Hey guys, welcome to the first podcast of Thrive Theory. My name is Reagan Kunze, and this podcast, I want to focus on the effects of psychology on mental health. I think it's important to look at the effects of the psychological facts on why you feel how you feel and why you act, because realistically, there's a lot of chemical reactions that go on in your brain that have a huge impact on why you do what you do and why you feel how you feel. I think one of the biggest things in my life has been understanding what's really going on here, what's really going on in the processing in my brain of chemicals, and why did I act the way that I acted? When I was hungry or tired and I lashed out, why did that happen? And then I know, oh, I was hungry, I'm gonna go have a snack. Scientifically, if I'm hungry and I eat, now I'm not hungry anymore, and now my mood is better. I think that understanding the facts of why things are the way that they are help you to further understand how to make those changes and how to go about those things. I think using science to impact my lifestyle has been really successful and helpful. And I just want to inform you guys and help you guys understand what's really going on and use those facts and real information to improve your lifestyle. And with that, I would like to dive into our first topic of today. Positive impacts of positivity. It's a mouthful. Positivity can have so many impacts on your mental health, your physical health. It can enhance your relationships and your problem-solving skills and your decision-making. It can attract success, reduce stress, boost your self-esteem, increase your lifespan, and just so many things are positively impacted when you have a positive outlook. Negative thoughts, on the other hand, do basically the complete opposite. They're going to slow down that brain coordination, make it difficult to process thoughts, and you're not going to be as good at problem solving. It's going to hinder your creative ability. You're going to have no creativity when you're being negative with yourself. And a big play in all of this, really, is that lack of motivation. Negativity is going to bring down motivation harder than anything else, which is why it's so important to search for that positivity in your life. This can be hard, though. There's this thing called the negativity bias, which, according to Psychology Today, scientists have discovered that it takes 3 positive experiences to offset 1 negative experience. That negativity bias is what makes your brain look harder at those negative things. It's what makes your brain pay less attention to those positive things. You could be having a great day, and then 1 negative experience is going to make you look back at your day and say, I actually had a really bad day, because that's what that negativity bias is. Your negative experiences and thoughts are really heavily going to outweigh that positive stuff. For example, have you ever had a really good day? You hung out with your friends, you got all your homework done, you went to the gym this morning, you got all this stuff done, you ate good, all this good stuff that made a good day, and you get in a car accident on your way home, or you fail a test, or you don't make it to work on time. Something like that, that just is one negative experience that makes you look back on your entire day and you're sad because you think you had a bad day when in reality you just had one bad experience. That is that negativity bias in action. There are some things that I have found personally and according to research can help redirect that negativity bias and help you focus more on those positive things. Personally, my favorite one is journaling. I love to journal. I journal almost every single day. I think it's honestly just a great place to be creative, if nothing else. I like to draw in my journal. I like to doodle in my journal. It's very mindful, which we will get to this, but mindfulness actually decreases your stress. So that is really good, and stress is a big factor in how you're viewing positively or negatively your life. And so with that stress detox, I'm helping my body and my brain reset and have a better outlook. More things with the journal. You can practice gratitude. You can write all the things that went well today. You can make a pros and cons list. I do that one a lot. Pros of today are usually one or two pages long, and I have two cons, and then I realize that, oh, I actually didn't have a bad day. I just thought I did. And that really does help ground me and help me focus back in on the positive things of the day. Another thing is you can write out goals for yourself. You can write out those visual manifestations of success and where you want to be, which is going to improve that motivation. It's going to visualize, I want to have this job in the future, or I want to be here in the future. I want to live somewhere. I want to get paid this much. I want to be able to afford this, stuff like that. I want to go to the gym every day. I want to eat healthier. Things that you can manifest by creating that visualization for your brain is going to increase that motivation to actually pursue those things. Positive affirmations is another really big one that I have a lot of fun with. Waking up in the morning, you can do these verbally, you can do them in your head, you can write them down. I have found that writing them down and seeing them on a piece of paper is actually really helpful to my brain because I'm able to write them down and reread them. Writing those positive affirmations, I am kind, I am pretty, I am worthy, I am hardworking, whatever you want to write, any of those things that like you struggle with or that you want to see as reality, you write those down and you read them and you tell yourself those things, your brain is going to really latch on to those positive things and seek those things out in your life, whether you honestly realize it or not. Your brain is going to hold on to that more than you realize. Practicing mindfulness in journaling and just in reality, when you are going through that negative situation, that negative experience, or feeling those negative self-talk and those thoughts, being able to identify that was a negative thought, I don't want to feel that way, and disengaging from that and completely switching that mindset. I think one of the biggest things is not to push those feelings down, not to invalidate yourself for feeling those things, because everybody has those days. Everybody feels those negative thoughts about themselves. Everybody struggles with that negative self-talk. I know I do. But being able to say, that wasn't okay. I wouldn't talk to my friend that way. I wouldn't want my friends to talk to me like that. Why am I talking to me like that? And acknowledging that you do have those negative thoughts, but then also disengaging from that negativity and focusing more on the positives. If I am insecure about what I look like today, I'm going to disengage from that. Say, yeah, I'm insecure about how my hair looks, but I'm having a really good face day. My skin is really clear. I put my makeup on just right. I look really good in these ways. And being able to focus on the positive things that you're not able to see when you only lock in on those negative things. One other outlet that is going to help you disengage from that negativity and find more of a positive outlook that I actually found really interesting, because I kind of knew this, but I read more of the articles and the facts on this, and I found this really cool. But doing things like acts of service or volunteering or giving people compliments, things like that, are actually triggering that reward system in your brain that is going to affect you almost the same as it's affecting that person that you're doing those things for. When you go out and do successful things in the community and you're giving back and you are complimenting people or holding the door open and doing those acts of service and kindness, your brain is registering that in a way that is going to actually impact your positivity levels and impact that like motivation to keep doing it, because you're feeling that sense of capability and self-fulfillment like through doing things for other people, which I think is really cool, because you're killing two birds with one stone. You're going out and you're making that positive impact on whoever it is that may be having a really good day, or maybe they're having a bad day, and that was the one thing that was going to turn their day around, or they're going to think about that later at night and think, wow, that was really kind of that person. Like, I actually had a really bad day, but like that really turned it around for me. Like, people do care. Like, whatever it is that they're thinking about that one thing, and they're impacted positively by that, which could completely reset their day for all you know. But it's also impacting you in almost the same way, where you're feeling successful and you're feeling like you did something good, and you're getting those positive hormones and those positive neurotransmitter chemical releases in your brain that are activating that reward system. So you're really doing good for both you and that other person, which I think is really cool. On that topic, I know that one of the things that I really struggled with during my mental health struggles with depression and anxiety and all of those things was not feeling like I was capable of doing things for myself, not feeling like I deserved it, not feeling like I was able to feel happy, because not that I didn't want to, but I just didn't feel like I deserved that feeling of happiness. But one thing that I was always capable of was doing things for other people. If I didn't get out of bed in the morning, for me, I got out of bed in the morning for other people. I am really big on how do my actions impact you. I think that's one of the biggest things that people lack, at least from what I've experienced, is thinking about not only yourself and how those things come back on you, but just in general, what about that person that's having a bad day, and that one moment of lashing out or anger or bad vibes that you give off is going to just add to that day. Being really mindful about how you're impacting people, I think, is one of the biggest things that I stand for in any relationship. So I found it refreshing to be able to go out and involve myself in the community. I didn't ever really volunteer, but I do think that would be something that I would have enjoyed during that period of my life. I enjoyed giving people compliments and making people smile and making people laugh, just enjoying time with my friends because they're enjoying time with me. I think it's the little things that are easy, like smiling at someone in the hallway or opening the door for someone, or just even holding the door open after you so the person can come out. Like, things like that that you're doing for other people, like little itty bitty things, are really actually impacting you positively. So if you can't do it for you, that's okay. I've been there. I think multiple people have been there. But realistically, find a way to do things for other people, because you really are impacting that positive outlook on yourself and impacting your lifestyle, both from a reflective view as people are going to view you, but also in an internal view and the way that your brain is going to process those things. You're going to feel fulfilled, and you're going to feel successful, and you're going to feel motivated. And you could honestly turn somebody else's day around, but you could also be turning your own day around by doing those small acts for other people. Just in general, being mindful is a really big thing. If you're not going out and choosing to make those impacts on other people, I think one of the biggest things you can focus on is just your mindfulness, because you could be impacting somebody's day negatively without even meaning to. And I think that's where mindfulness comes into play, and being mindful of how you present yourself and your actions, whether that is looking at things positively or negatively, because that can have a big play on a lot of your mental health. Actually, there are studies that have been done that conclude that mindfulness can contradict your stress. Things like being mindful and participating in meditation can change the balance of brain activity between the higher order cortical regions responsible for attention, and it can strengthen that executive control for the activation of attentional networks. So doing things like yoga or meditating or sitting in silence with your thoughts and processing things are actually making you smarter, because you're creating those neural pathways that are making you more mindful, and that's going to make it easier to be mindful in your everyday life. According to an article I found, there is evidence from multiple brain scan studies that long-term practitioners of mindful meditation have changes in the activity and structure of their attentional network. This means that being mindful actually does impact your brain, and even physically, there are changes that are happening in your brain with that neuroplasticity that are enhancing those attentional networks. So you're going to have more attention to detail, you're going to have more creativity, and practicing mindfulness is going to continue to make it easier to be able to use that in your everyday life. Back to that positivity topic, I think this one is more on topic. I kind of went on a spiel there. But there was a study done on how smiling can basically trick your brain into feeling happy. This study focused on participants faking a smile, forcing a smile, and even like physically with their hands making their face into a smile. And then they would study the moods of these participants, and there was a significant difference in the people that did force a smile and the people that didn't, that the people that did reported actual feelings of happiness and showed actual evidence of feeling happier. And this study actually supported a theory that already existed, which is called the facial feedback hypothesis. This theory suggests that facial expressions can actually influence our emotions. I think this is really cool, and I learned about this in class and I've done more research on it, but I think this is really interesting because basically your brain is receiving those signals of that muscle activity that's happening, whether it's a smile that's real or it's a fake smile, and it's processing that as genuine happiness. A quote from Psychology Today says, "Your mind is actively monitoring your behavior to determine your mood. So if you're feeling sad but you force a smile, your mind will conclude that you can no longer feel sad after all and will order the release of more happy hormones." So this is one of the reasons why I am a strong believer of fake it till you make it. Pretending to be happy can lead to real positivity. That release of hormones is going to help regulate those negative feelings into more positive ones, and then finding those affirmations that you can follow up with are going to push that positivity outlook. Faking it till you make it can look like looking for positive things rather than negative things. And yes, your brain has that negativity bias, but you don't have to. You can accept those negative feelings and those things and understand where those are coming from and do some deep diving into why do I feel this way. And that's what I think journaling has been really good for, with me at least, is that when I'm feeling some type of way and I don't understand, I'm gonna write out what I'm feeling and what are possible influences on why I'm feeling that way. Did I eat today? Did I get a good sleep last night? Am I feeling stressed because I have things to do, or am I feeling stressed because I feel like I have things to do? And then I'm going to write down a list of what I need to get done. And I feel like usually things feel a lot bigger in my head when I'm writing down, these are my reasons for why I'm stressed or why I'm sad. I usually have a moment of revelation where I think, oh, I actually only have two things to do. Like, I'm not even that busy. And then I take a nap and then I get back to it and do it later because I really didn't have a reason to be stressed. It is important, however, to not ignore your feelings. Pretending to be happy doesn't look like pushing those feelings down and masking yourself with positivity and pretending to have such a good day that you don't even think about those negative things. It's important to process your emotions and process the feelings that you are having and understand that they're real, and validate yourself that those are real feelings, whether they are valid because of something or they're valid because you just feel that way. Your feelings are valid. But choosing to be optimistic about those things and looking for the positive things rather than locking in on those negative things with that negativity bias, you can increase your happiness and your positivity outlook. One thing that I think has helped me a lot, aside from all the other things that I've already told you, is positive reinforcement. positive reinforcement is rewarding a behavior directly after or close to immediately after that is going to improve the motivation to continue that behavior. One thing I want to touch on, which is kind of a little off topic, but I promise it'll wrap in together, is the 21-day myth. I did some research on positive reinforcement and I went down a rabbit hole. And the 21-day myth is really interesting, at least it was to me. When you try and form a new habit, they tell you 21 days and that behavior will become a habit easier. That's actually not correct. One study found that an average 66 days is needed for a new habit to stick, which that's actually the average though. So this can range from like 18 days up to like, it said 254 days for a habit to stick. And simpler tasks can take less time, but harder tasks are gonna need more time. So I think that is where understanding comes to play, and it's really important to understand that after 21 days, if you don't have that down, you're not a failure. Perfection is not key. Consistency is. Just because you're not seeing results doesn't mean you're not making progress. You're still taking that one step every single day to improve your life and to form that habit. And just because you miss one day or you don't do as good as you wanted to do, you're not pushing yourself back. And I think that's one thing that I really did struggle with in my gym journey and trying to make it a habit to go to the gym. It was hard for me to wake up and choose to go to the gym rather than getting that 30 extra minutes of sleep. But doing that and choosing to do that and reinforcing that with positive reinforcement, like going to get a smoothie afterwards to celebrate that I actually did get up, because you're accepting those small victories as victories. So wrapping that back into that positive reinforcement and that positive outlook, don't expect too much from yourself. People are so hard on themselves. Me personally, I am so hard on myself. And that can lead to such a negative outlook on your life. If you expect too much from yourself and it's not achievable, it's not even possible, and you're expecting yourself to meet some quota that you're not even possible of meeting, it's going to negatively impact your motivation and your outlook, and you're going to feel like a failure, and you're not. Progress takes time. Continue that positive reinforcement and work hard to commit to that behavior. But because you miss a day, that doesn't set you back. Because you miss a day and you focus on that negativity and that missing a day, and so you're so bad that you can't even go the rest of the week, that is going to set you back. Locking in on the negative side of things is going to be what sets you back more than anything else. Keeping that optimistic outlook on things of, yes, I missed today, but I also got 30 minutes of extra sleep and now I'm not exhausted. Like, that's great. I'm positive that tomorrow I will make it because I got that extra sleep. Now I still have that motivation and I'm keeping that positive outlook, so my day isn't even ruined. I'm having a great day. I didn't go to the gym this morning, but I'm still going to have a good day and I'm going to go tomorrow. According to an article on habit formation and positive reinforcement, small consistent successes are pivotal in habit formation. Celebrating these mini victories can create a powerful momentum and increase your motivation. One of the biggest drives our brain looks for is a reward. One of our biggest motivations in life is reward. You get out of bed in the morning, and whether you know it or not, you are seeking a reward of some type, whether that is to feel successful, to make money at your job, to accomplish things during the day. Your brain is searching for that reward because that is the biggest crave that we have in life. That is why positive reinforcement is so critical. If you're not seeing that immediate progress, if you're not seeing that weight loss journey as fast as you thought you were going to see it, if you're not seeing that commitment to a habit as fast as you thought you were going to see it, you're going to lose motivation and you're not going to feel as driven to wake up and go do those things. And so by utilizing positive reinforcement, you are activating that reward center of your brain and giving that reward to yourself, which is going to be exactly what you went out and did, whether that is in the way that you want it to be or whether that is in some form of positive reinforcement, that your brain is able to activate that reward system and you're going to increase your motivation and increase that positivity. And honestly, you're going to learn to look forward to those things even once you take out that positive reinforcement. The second thing I wanted to talk about today is sleep. Sleep is so important. Sleep is when your body repairs itself, strengthens your immune system, does all of its mental processing. It's how you remember things. If you're studying for a long time and you sleep, you're going to process that information and you're actually going to be better off than if you would have stayed up all night and kept studying. Sleep also has a huge impact on your mood and your outlook on life, because if you're in a bad mood, you're going to have a negative outlook. So that's how it kind of ties back into positivity. But I think there's a lot of really interesting facts about sleep, and I want to go over some of the ways to improve sleep so that you can maintain that positive outlook. According to Psychology Today, research has found that overall, evidence suggests that focusing on sleep may be one of the most potential pathways to improving contentment with one's life. A good sleep schedule and better quality sleep has increased life satisfaction among many people. Personally, there are so many nights that I don't get a good night's sleep, and I think that that just comes with being the age that I am and being in school and having a job and being stressed all the time. There are a lot of things that disrupt your sleep cycle and that don't allow you to get the quality sleep that you should be getting. Things like mental health issues like depression, anxiety, stress, PTSD are a big factor in your sleep cycles and how good of sleep you get, because when your wavelengths are disrupted, your brain isn't able to completely take a break. Your brain is still processing these things and you're not getting a good quality sleep. So that's why I think it's really important to be mindful, because if you're able to meditate before bed or read until you fall asleep, your brain is able to take a little breather and get prepared for bed and kind of set these things aside so that it's able to shut down and process the things that you are going through throughout the day. Other things like aging, traumatic brain injuries, some medications, those can impact the quality of sleep that you're getting. Another big one is screen time. And I know I've been told this, but I never believed it when my mom said I needed to be off my phone an hour before bed. But screen time genuinely does have a huge impact on the quality of sleep that you get. Your brain has a natural sleep-wake cycle. That is your circadian rhythm. It is linked to nature and when the sun sets, and that is what tells your body that you're tired. Using screens before bed, especially before bed, but up to when you're about to get ready for sleep. So when I'm scrolling on TikTok before I go to sleep, that is not good for me, because the blue light suppresses the melatonin production, which is the hormone that is responsible for sleepiness, which can lead to difficulties falling asleep and poorer overall sleep quality. Research has shown that at least an hour before bedtime, you should stop looking at all screens, because this gives your brain a chance to wind down and signals to your body that it's time to sleep. However, if you push it back even further, like 2 hours or 3 hours, and you stop looking at screens that much earlier, it can benefit you even greater. And again, this is really good because sleep can have a huge impact on your mood and your positivity outlook. It's way easier to be positive when you've had a good night's sleep than it is when you're cranky and you wake up still tired and all you can think of is negativity, and that is really going to impact your day. Sleep can have a huge impact on your lifestyle if you get into bad habits of not falling asleep on time and not getting enough sleep or good quality of sleep. Yale Medicine has an article that states that getting great sleep boils down to two central requirements: having a consistent sleep schedule and turning off your busy brain. Waking up at the same time every day is more important than having a consistent bedtime. This allows your body to regulate your natural sleep-wake cycle and gives you that right amount of quality sleep, which significantly is going to impact your overall health, mood, and cognitive function. I followed some of this article and also researched on my own time some other ways to improve sleep. From my research, I found that your sleep environment is a huge factor in this. Making sure that you are completing a nighttime routine, whether that is just turning the lights off and getting in bed and taking melatonin and that is your nighttime routine, or you have a more elaborate nighttime routine. Setting that schedule so that your body knows when it's going to sleep and it's able to pick up on those signals and start to wind down. That is really important in the type of quality of sleep that you're getting. Along with that, setting some type of schedule for relaxation, whether that's reading a book, doing a face mask, doing some meditation, doing something that is avoiding screens and you're setting your body up for preparing to go to sleep. You're going to give your body those signals so that when it actually is time to go to sleep, your body is ready. Sleep is really important in playing a role in positivity and outlook on life. And that was my beginning topic with this podcast, was positivity in reflecting positively back on your day rather than focusing on the negative ones. And so I think that ties in well together, because without good sleep, it makes it really hard to follow those positivity mindset rules and those guidelines. But I think with focusing on a sleep schedule and focusing on that relaxation, as well as using those mindfulness techniques and journaling and finding those positivity things in your life, whether that looks like helping somebody else or helping yourself, I think that those are all really important things that play back into positivity. So I hope you guys took something from this podcast. I hope you were able to relate to some things. I hope that you were able to have a better understanding of sleep's role in your overall outlook on life, and also ways to impact that positive outlook and ways to rewire that negativity bias. I hope that my experiences were helpful in helping you figure these out, and I hope to see you on the next podcast. Bye, guys!